Hey, Internet. Got a little stuff going on outside the window, so I apologize for any noise this morning, but there was a very, I think, valuable question that came into my email today, and I want to take some time to answer it this morning because I think it is something that increasingly Christians will have to deal with in the present age. And this video is made for them, so if you're here because of the topic and you're not a Christian, do please understand that as people who have a certain faith, which we believe is true, not because we want to hurt anybody or hate anybody or anything like that, but we have a certain faith founded in the historical fact, so we believe, that Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead and is God Almighty, and therefore what he says is what God wants us to know, and it's actually all about love, but it has an impact on a lot of other stuff. As people who believe that, and then from that believe what he has said, living in a world and a culture in America that is increasingly, it's not just America, right? But in America is increasingly hostile to what he has said on certain issues and finding ourselves accused of things that we don't really believe or intend, even though there may be some weirdos out there who say, I'm a Christian and I believe this and I want to kill you, right? Well, that's not what Christianity teaches, but we still believe what Christianity actually teaches. And so we're wrestling with how to deal with that and the hate that we're receiving from people who are accusing us of hate. So this isn't really here to, like, increase hate. The goal here is to not hate in general. That's, you know, Jesus said, love your enemy, right? So the one who hates you, what we believe Jesus teaches is that you are to love that person anyway, even if they do hate you. Turn the other cheek, he said, to those who strike you. We believe that, which is why then we're wrestling with how to apply things like the law of God, which we don't just think is about sex, we actually think it's about all sorts of stuff, but it's all about how the world really works, how creation was made to exist. It's not just do this because, it's like that's the way it happens, this is what we can see and observe too. How do we apply that in conversations with those who don't want to believe that it's true and who might think that our disagreement, just our disagreement, is hate? Because disagreement is not hate. Disagreement is how you come to unification, actually. If you can't disagree, then you're never going to learn, you're never going to grow, you're never going to have anything of value. It is in even debate, right? It is in trial and error and testing that most good things have come from in our world that we know. And you apply this just about everything. But in this issue, for some reason, well, honestly, fascism, we're being silenced. So with that said, as the caveat for those who might stumble into this thing, the letter that I got reads like this. It says, Hi, Rev Fisk. So I got a friend in my circle who announced that she will become a he. He picked up a new name and will go through the whole transition with medication, etc. Supposedly, this is something she has been struggling with since a child, etc. Here's my question. We are not super close friends. I could remain the usual distant acquaintance I have been in years. I never supported any of her lesbian behavior, never brought it up because she did not. So we were just talking, etc. But now she is changing her name and really going all in. Elisha is becoming Elijah. Do I use her new first name? What do I do? Just treat her as a man? Do I cut ties totally? Just looking at for your input, I have a handful of gay, lesbian coworkers, friends, but never went through the transgender situation. Excuse me, I'm gonna cough. Yeah, well, I mean, it is a little challenging because it's new, and any new change for anyone is challenging. So if you're watching this and you're mad that I said it was challenging, that's really heartless of you, honestly. It's unkind of you to announce something as transformative as you say this is for you, and not expect people to be like, whoa, wow, okay, I got to get used to this, right? So, you know, back off a little bit and just be kind here for a moment. The question for us then is, you know, what do you do? I mean, especially as it's at the point in some areas of the world, I don't think U.S. yet, where even what you wrote, right, she will become a he. Oh, you didn't say he picked a new name again, but you did call her a she again, right, rather than using the new pronoun right away. And that can be called hate, or you can be sued for that. Well, that gets intense because who knows what you might accidentally do. I'm pretty sure that in history, my life, at some point, I have called someone the wrong gender pronoun who was not a transitioning person at all, right? I just did it. Oops, I called that guy a girl, right? To be liable for that, with money and lawsuit and livelihood, and then, you know, being labeled a Nazi, that's pretty intense. That's kind of scary. Yeah. For those of us who are just like, this is kind of new, what do we do? Right. So what do you do? How do you engage? And part of it is also then, as the Christian, we're always thinking about salvation, right? So we're always thinking about, are you in Jesus Christ? Are you united to Jesus Christ? You have the baptism of Christ, the flesh and blood of Christ, a hope in the resurrection of Christ. And we want people to have that. And we know that whatever we do to deny the truth of God's word jeopardizes that faith and that reality in us. And that's not just sexual sin. That's all of us walk in that. We have a hymn, I walk in danger all the way, right? It's about losing focus on what the word of God says for us because we don't want to hear it. And the way to be saved then is to be regenerated, brought back into hearing of what God has actually said. And I'm not going to go off right now, for those of you who may just stumble upon this, into why us saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven makes perfect sense from like a scientific factual point of view. This is not some random assumption. This has everything to do with the historicity of the resurrection. So if you want to read up on that, did the resurrection happen with Gary Habermas and, oh, now I lost his name. You can Google it. Gary Habermas, but it's an interview with Anthony Flew, is a great introduction. Habermas has some other great apologetic work or defense work on the history of the resurrection, steering away from, you know, I'm asserting this just because I believe it. So that would be why we're in this boat as Christians again. And we want people to know about it because we believe, because Jesus said so, that this is like eternal life and that the alternative is eternal death. And so in this conversation or the ongoing relationship with an individual who is doing something that is outside the box, we're thinking about salvation before we're thinking about anything else. So we don't want to cut off ties. We don't want to stop being your friend. We want to be your friend. It's hard to be the friend of someone who is going to get enraged at you for what you believe. You can love your neighbor, but Jesus didn't say be best friends with your neighbor. Trust them implicitly. Don't do that. Right? Love them means do good to them when they do evil to you and do not do evil to them at all. Right? It's a very different thing. So we have to wrestle with that. Right? How do we apply that here? How do you retain a human relationship with someone who is entering into a zealous position? I won't necessarily call it religious because the individual might not think it is religious, but there's like a religious fervor about it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be changing your life, right? So you're entering into a zealous, a fervored position, neither calling it good or evil at this point, right? But which is completely antithetical, completely different from, and even in itself, in the presentation it brings in the world, and the official statements it makes publicly, and that doesn't mean you, but that does mean like the group you're joining, like has it out for what we believe. So for us to maintain a friendship is going to be work for us, not so much because we are going to have a hard time, but because we're going to have to be really hard to like not be ourselves sometimes so that you're not believing what your, well, religion says you have to believe about us Christians, right? And so that's the challenge that's really being asked here, right? So this is a lot of setup to try to answer the question, but it is a complicated question. And there are issues here of science. There are issues here of the actual effects of these kinds of choices on human lives from those who have made these choices and the numbers that are the result of, you know, positive or negative outcomes over the course of the next 5 to 10 years after doing these kinds of things. I mean, there's stuff out there that is worth looking at pretty carefully if you're in this position. Because when you're in a fervor, when we are zealous, and when you're being driven by your passions, which we all are to some extent, and certainly whenever you're thinking about your sexual identity, you're being driven by passion to some extent. I mean, hetero, homo, trans, whatever, passion's at work. And being driven by your passions can make you blind to reality. Right? This is why you see people who say they're in love, who really, everybody, all your friends know, yeah, they're not good for each other. But then they're like, oh, I love you so much, I can't live without you. That's passion. And passion, while we believe is a gift of God to some extent, is also very blinding. It can make you not see. So, okay, with all that, again, as kind of caveat, what would I do? if I had a, I'm going to say a close friend of mine, not like best friend, not like every weekend we're hanging out, right? But someone who I see around town, I'm always saying hi to. We hang out pretty well. We do, you know, sometimes I've had a beer with them on an afternoon, but not all the time, right? What would I do if then this was announced to me? And, you know, you mentioned having had homosexual friends before, or homosexually attracted friends, people with homosexual attraction before. I have two. And so, again, for the viewer who may stumble upon this, well, you're just a bigot. Well, you don't know me, and you don't know where I've been in life. I have been, what's the word? Now I can't think of it. When you're in the workplace and a man approaches a woman in an inappropriate way and then maybe is turned down, but then the man comes back again and again. You know, in the comments, if you can help me think, there's a word for this, right? It's not sexual. Oh, I can't think of what it is. For Pete's sake. But you know what I'm talking about. This is what happens when you're live and you can't edit anything. Well, I've had that happen to me. Not where I'm the one pressuring someone and using my position of authority. Sexual harassment, thank you. I'm not the one using my position of authority to pressure somebody into doing sexual acts. I was having it done to me by another man who was the lead server at the restaurant I worked at. And he was, he didn't back down much. He didn't make my life miserable. He didn't really hold it over my head in some sort of like financial way, but it was very, very difficult. It was a challenging time. And even then, and I was a Christian then. I was kind of working my way into it a little bit. Even then, it was like, I wasn't like, I'm going to hate this guy. It was just like, dude, ease off, you know, let it go. I'm not. I like the girls. So I've been in that position. I've been in a position also where a very good friend of mine in college, very good friend, was a announced and proud lesbian. And at that time, I definitely was a Christian. And I definitely believed that it was, well, wrong, right? Just like adultery of any kind. I believed adultery was wrong. It was outside of marriage. And let's not debate that yet. Just hear me. So I disagreed, but it didn't affect my relationship with her. I continued to be her friend. And we talk about poetry. We're in poetry classes together. So we talk about poetry. And then we also edited the school poetry journal that year, our senior year. And so we were in that together. Her name's Kate. I haven't kept in touch with anybody from college because I don't keep in touch with people. That's the people I went to seminary with. How many I still call? That'd be zero. And how many call me? That'd be like two. So that's just me, right? That's not hate. And so, but I remember Kate and I love Kate. And I wish the best for Kate in life. So as Christians, it's not that we can't be kind to those who are in disagreement with us about anything. In fact, we're supposed to be kind to them. We're supposed to not harm them. But we're also not supposed to necessarily agree with those things that might be said which go against the Word of God, which puts you in a very difficult place when someone who is born with the genetics and thereby the genitalia of a man who then desires to be recognized as not having those genetics, but as a woman who, not having those genetics, does not, cannot, will not have an actual uterus, nor a monthly custom by which the propagation of life from that uterus and womb can come, for which we understand God to have created woman as a particular gift to all of the universe. Yeah. Yes, I know you're pushing a broken pipe down my drive. Yeah, that's really great for the sound. So if you hear that, great. If you don't, even better. So this is a particular challenge for us because for us to change those pronouns would mean that we no longer are confessing what we believe to be true, not about you per se, but about the universe and therefore also, because God has said it, about God, which would be to deny our God and effectively abdicate or apostatize from our religion, which we again believe is about Jesus of Nazareth rising from the dead to save the whole world, whole universe, really. And so we really don't want to abdicate from that if we can help it. It's kind of important to us, and these things all tie together. So then what would I do? You know, you've changed your name from, say, Elisha to Elijah at this point. What would I do? Well, and here's what I would do, and this is not advice for you who might be not in agreement with me, but I'm talking to other Christians. I would honestly just stop using a name. I would say, hi. Hey, how you been? Ah, good to see you. How you doing? And I wouldn't say that's what I'm doing. I wouldn't be like, and by the way, I can't use your name now, right? I mean, that's not going to help. I would just not do it. I would just patiently and kindly be as friendly as I can. And I would do the same thing with third person pronouns, which you really don't need to use when you're talking to somebody, because when you're talking to somebody, you are you're using second person. You're saying you. When we're talking about somebody, you are, well, then you're using that third person. So at that point, that you're not talking to them then at that point. So they aren't necessarily in your hearing. So I would basically avoid talking about them in their hearing. And if I were to talk generally about things that might apply to them, I would say, I would move away from pronouns. I would start saying things like, well, a person might want to do this. Or, you know, one individual I know, you know, an individual can do this. I would talk about them in words that have no gender connection so I could avoid having to, well, affront them and make them angry needlessly, because it's not going to convert them. That's not going to be anything that converts them. The death and resurrection of Jesus and his return and the forgiveness of sins bound up in that, that's what will convert them. So I would try to avoid unnecessarily just kind of drawing a line on the sand as if it's going to prove something to them, because it won't. Now, if they're going to be, again, violent, which they may someday, in which they're trying to coerce you, that it's not good enough for you to say individual, you must say what, I would probably just stay silent at that point, because I'd plead the fifth, right? I don't have to condemn myself. Come on. According to you and your made-up law about how I have to recognize everything you ever say, regardless if it's real or not. I mean, what a horrible world to live in. Can you imagine that if you're outside of our box and in your box over there? You really want a world in which someone can compel you to say the truth is whatever they tell you it is? And you want the government to do that? I mean, that might be really cool for like 3 weeks when you're in charge, but there's going to come a time when you're not in charge and it's not going to be so cool. You really want that world? One thing that Christianity teaches, again, is patience and patient endurance. The willingness to put up with the ignorance of others, the hate of others, being able to overlook what you think is wrong that they have done. And so I'm advocating that right now for us, to you, transgender. I would say you might, if you love so much, do that for us as well here. Now, there will be some Christians who really don't like that I've said it this way. They'll say, you got to draw the line in the sand right now. You're denying it. You're helping them. I didn't say help. I there's no way that the relationship can continue in the same way that it would have been before if it is close enough that you are going to be drawn into having to support the decision. Because we can't. And I don't even have to make that argument from the Bible, honestly. I can make that argument from the science and the history of what transitioning does to people and how very rarely, if ever, long-term, it helps. So that's what I would be forced to kind of recognize and acknowledge. And if you're like, that's not true, well, you should go look at those voices that have been ostracized from your own movement for pointing this out in the literature. Go find those who have been driven out of the homosexual lobby by the transgender movement in the homosexual lobby for pointing these kinds of things out as just being like facts. Go follow them and ask why did they get kicked out? What happened? Oh, they raised their voice against the machine is what happened. The machine, which is fascism, which again is the real issue at work here. And if you are transgender, or in a homosexual situation, you should know. I mean, you're being used by a larger zeitgeist, a larger purpose that really isn't about your welfare at all. It's not about rights at all. It's about governmental power and overreach. Maybe not even government, but like bank-driven governmental power and overreach, where like the government's under the banks. So, I mean, just go look at that. I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, by the way. I do not buy Illuminati. I've had Illuminati comments on my thing, though. That's scary. Yeah, but I don't buy any of that. I don't think that really exists. But I do believe that people with money know how to use people who don't necessarily have money to get their way. And there are some people with money, and there are some goals for this country, probably more than one, right? You get different groups. But I just don't think that what's happening is all just y'all, right? I think you're getting used. I think your issue, your pain, your struggle, your trial, I think you're getting used. And you should go look at that. Follow the money and listen to those who actually don't necessarily disagree with you in terms of like the desire to live a homosexual life. But they're like saying, wait, whoa. And then they've been kicked out. Well, why is that? That's awful weird, isn't it? So go talk to them before you worry about you know, me and my little weird religion over here in the corner. My little weird religion over here in the corner exists for the day when, whatever your sexual appetite might be, the day when you realize that your hands are actually the cause of your own death. And that isn't like just the part of nature, it sucks. It's even wrong. And maybe this will be when you lay your dad to rest, or when your child dies in a car accident. And you'll be like, that's not right. Why is it like this? And you'll want to blame God, even though you don't maybe believe in God, you'll want to blame God. Why do you want to blame God? Well, that's the problem. That's how we are just all the time. We don't believe in the true God. We hate him. We think everything's his fault. And Jesus of Nazareth is the solution to this. Like physically, historically, intellectually. Now, just me saying the words isn't enough. There's a lot more to come. You would have to be taught. Yeah. But that's what my religion's for. It's for when you're in that point and you really want that answer. We got it. We got it. We're not here to change the world's view of sex, although we are here for those who come into Christianity to change the world, change their view of sex back to what sex really is, and to show what it really is used for, and to build families that are strong in that way because they're founded on the rock of how stuff really is as opposed to the sand of our made-up ideas that we think ought to work. Let's try it. Let's engineer society, right? Well, that's pretty much bound to collapse. That's like saying, let's just build a building as though gravity weren't there, or let's go build buildings in California and pretend there won't be an earthquake, right? Well, not such a great idea. So Christianity has that. But it doesn't have that to force it upon you. That's what Islam has, which is really interesting that you're not speaking out against that. That's really odd to me, given that they're the ones that'll like actually kill you, like in violent, awful ways, still like legal in countries across the sea. Christianity has no intention of doing that. And if you want to point to the Crusades, again, okay, so you probably hate Trump, right? So let's just bash on Trump for a second. I don't hate him. I don't necessarily love him, but I don't hate him. But you probably do, right? So just imagine Trump and all the evil you imagine that he is gets a hold of Christianity and realizes that if he just pretends to be a Christian, it might be true. If he just pretends to be a Christian, you know, 75% or 90% of his country will go to war. Well, that's kind of what happened in the Crusades, right? It wasn't Christianity at work. This was Christianity being abused, stolen, yeah. Which it's happened in many times, many places, with different religions. And then for us, it's not always that we're stolen for the sake of violence, because it's really hard to teach violence from Christianity. It's very difficult. You have to just lie through your teeth and make sure that the Bible is not in the language the people can read. Huh? You with me on this a little bit here? I mean, you really got to do that. And for 1,000 years, that happened. There's reasons for that. But when you have the text of Scripture, it's really hard to teach violence. You just can't do it. You would have to deny what's there. Oh, but Judges says, no, you don't know how to read the Bible. Let me help you with that one later. It's impossible to teach violence from Christianity on purpose, right? In the name of Christianity. Christianity doesn't want to kill you. It doesn't want to come in and force you to live a certain way. There is no Sharia law in Christianity. There is in Islam, so you should worry about that. What we want instead is to live peaceful and quiet lives, believing that Jesus is risen from the dead, with the freedom to order our own lives around what we believe Jesus says about how life should be. So yeah, in our houses, if we have a little town of us, we want to be free to say out loud that a baby boy is a baby boy, because you can see it there. It's kind of, yeah, and then he and a baby girl, if they grow up, they can make babies, and it's kind of the way things have been for a long time, and we think God did that on purpose, and so we don't want to just pretend it's not true because of an individual or a group's sexual appetite. The same way that a man who desires to have a harem, you know, 7 wives, 50 wives, 1,000 wives, well. Even though, and you can point to the guy in the Bible that did it didn't work out so well, and it wasn't commended to him, we would say that's wrong too. We say rape is wrong. We say sexual abuse is wrong, right? All those things, actually, as being wrong, come out of monotheistic religions in large part. So that you might want to think about that a little bit. What's your foundation? In any case, Our goal is not to convert you by the sword. Our goal is to, well, convert you by forgiving all of your sins, the ones you think are sins to begin with, in Jesus Christ. And so then, as your friend, we want to maintain that relationship. And for that reason, I would avoid not maintaining that relationship until the day that I was compelled, at the point of the sword, really, right, to not maintain the relationship. It doesn't mean I would support it. I would never support it. I would never say I support it. And just saying hi in the hallway is not supporting it. That's being nice. So I would do that. And saying your name, however, that you want me to say, that's no longer your actual name, well, that would be me giving up my belief that Jesus has risen from the dead. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. You know, and if it gets to the point where you want to kill us, I don't think it's going to get that way in this country. Although it might for a lot of us, and you'll probably, just to be fair, the transgender movement people, I think you're going to be on the same side as us. I think you're going to get strung up with us by the time this thing's over. Because the wind of the ghost that's blowing, it's blown in history before in other parts of the world, and you can go read about it, and it always ends with like millions of people dead. So, you know, when the real Hitler does come to power, when the Mussolini, I'm losing the Russian guy and I shouldn't, he's Stalin. When Stalin does come to power, when Genghis Khan is in charge, right, stuff goes nasty pretty fast. So, maybe we should ask the government to do a little bit less for us these days and just strive to live peacefully among ourselves and maybe learn to tolerate each other. Tolerance is a Christian virtue, and it means to be willing to let someone disagree with you, even about things that mean so deeply to you that they threaten your identity. You're allowed, you will allow them to threaten your identity, provided they don't actually threaten you. That's tolerance, and we could use a healthy dose of that these days, a healthy, healthy dose. So again, back to my viewer. No, I would not cut ties. No, I would not treat her as a man. I would treat her as her. But that doesn't mean calling her a woman. It just means treating her the way you would anybody that you pass in the hallway or that you sit down and you have lunch with. You are polite, you are kind, and you love them in the best way that you can, while at the same time not giving yourself over to the abuse and even cult-like social pressure to change what you believe to suit their fancies, their desires. Well, fancies may be a soft word. I apologize if that offended you. But see, look at that. I got to apologize. Why is that? Why can't we just have words? And that's the real thing here. So I hope this helps those of you who are watching this. I'm thinking that many Christians will think that was really helpful. I'm thinking that there'll be some Christians that it will be like, that was not helpful. You need to draw a harder line on the sand. I've drawn a pretty hard line in the sand. I mean, I'm not affirming anything per se. I'm only acknowledging that we can't expect unbelievers to do what believers do until they become believers. And the way they become believers is not by means of the law, but by means of the gospel. Which doesn't mean that the law doesn't have a place in civilization and society. We want laws against murder, and we want laws that support marriage. But if you're in a society that's not going to do that, then you can't do that. And the laws that support marriage, you can't force people to get married. How's that going to work? Laws that support marriage would be laws that support procreation. And sorry, Christians, we let go of that one like 60 years ago. So until we're willing to go back and like relook at that thing, we got no voice in this game at all, right? You want to support marriage, you got to support procreation. And that's a whole different issue altogether. So there's a hard line for you, right? This is not a soft line, but it is a generously tolerant line. And I think that is what Christianity teaches for the sake of them hearing the thing that does convert them, which is the knowledge that Jesus has risen and this changes the world. And it's just a fact. It's not an idea. It's not an announcement. It's not a myth that we've made up. It wasn't something that just came out of the Middle Ages randomly from that Bible that nobody had ever translated. The history of this is as solid as any ancient world history that we have. And then having risen from the dead, he said, oh, by the way, I did this so that you won't ever die again. Yeah, sure, you're going to die now because I want more people to believe. So I'm going to let you die believing, hoping in what is to come, and telling others about it. And I promise you, my Holy Spirit's with you so that this voice, this message won't go away. It will continue through history, creating more of you who do believe and thus are saved from eternal death until the day when I do come back, wrap this whole thing up, and at that moment, I'm going to raise your bodies, male and female, from the dead. Now, that's what converts people. Yeah. I have not had a chance to look at comments today. This was a pretty intense one, I think, but we will be back tomorrow, and if you left a good one, I'll try to talk about it then. Yeah? We'll see you soon. Rock on.